All right, the Pope's second trip to America came in 1995. This time I really wanted to see him, and I wanted to rest my eyes on him. I wanted to feel the constriction in my chest when he went by. I was no longer with CBS or any other organization. I was just a book writer working at home. I didn't know what to do to get to see him, to get into any of the big masses he was holding, so I simply prayed on it. A few days before the Pope's visit, I mentioned to my friend, Nancy Dickerson Whitehead, that I was hoping to see the Pope, and I was asking God for help, but so far I was coming up zero. And she said to me, "Well, what are you doing besides praying?" Not much, really, I said. Well, she reminded me of the story of the man in the flood who ran to the roof as the waters rose. He prayed to God for help, knowing it would come. And because he knew it would come when a big door floated by on which he could have floated to safety, he let it pass. And then when an empty canoe actually came by, floating out of someone's garage, he let that pass. He just sat there and he waited for God's help. It got dark. He got cold. He got scared. Then he got angry. He raised his fist in frustration and he said, "I had faith in you, God. You didn't help me." And suddenly there was a voice and God said, "I sent you a door. I sent you a canoe." So, she told me, get rocking. I thought this was good advice, and I started calling everyone I knew who might be able to help. And I continued to talk to God and ask for his help. And the next day, of course, I got a call from Nancy Dickerson Whitehead, who'd mentioned my plight to a friend who had two tickets to see the Pope at St. Patrick's Cathedral, and she couldn't use them, and would I like to? It was fabulous. I thanked her profusely, I accepted them, and I called my sister, who lives in Staten Island, and I asked her to come with me. She had once told me a story 25 years before of being stuck on a bus mysteriously in Midtown Manhattan. She was on her way to work. They were in a huge traffic jam. Bus didn't move for half an hour. Nobody quite knew why. Suddenly they saw a bunch of lights coming down Fifth Avenue, a bunch of cars, police lights, limousines. And then the Pope, Paul VI, came by. It was Pope Paul VI on his visit to America, his first visit. My sister never thought she would see a Pope, and neither did the rest of the people on the bus. Many of them were Hispanic. A lot of them started to say, "El Papa, El Papa." So the way she told it to me 25 years before, it was clear she would never forget it. So I knew she was the right person to bring to see John Paul II. But she couldn't come to see the Pope this time. She begged off. It wouldn't work. This was sad. Who deserved it more? So then I said to God, "Please tell me who I should bring." And the person who immediately came to mind was a young woman I knew in New York, a Democratic Party fundraiser and activist, who had told me once at a party, just in passing, that she was enormously moved by the Pope. So I called her, and I asked her if she'd like to go. She was so grateful, very excited. I knew I'd invited the right person. It felt very good. All right, the day came. It was on the weekend. There had been only one snag. On the day the Pope was at the cathedral, my friend had planned to be away for the weekend with her family in Martha's Vineyard. But don't worry, she said. She wanted to see John Paul so much that she was going to rent an airplane, have it fly into Newark Airport, and meet me at 2:15 p.m. a block from the cathedral. That's where people with tickets like ours were to meet. The service was to begin after 3 p.m., but they would close the doors at 3 o'clock. We'd all been warned, so we had to be early. So I got there waiting at the right place at 2 p.m. She wasn't there at 2:15. She wasn't there at 2:30. She wasn't there at 2:45. And she wasn't there at 2:55. I was in a kind of agony, straining to see all the way down the avenue, hoping she'd materialize out of the mist. The minutes ticked by. Now I had to make a decision. The woman who was there to take the tickets at the barricade told me, no. She said, "You can't hold the ticket for a friend. You can't give it to me." She said, "You have to decide now whether or not you're going in." She said, "They're closing up." If I didn't move ahead now and walk into the cathedral, they'd close the doors and I'd never get in. As she said this, I started to hear in the distance a great cheer. It was my Pope, my darling Pope, who'd flown in from Italy to see us, who's proceeding down Fifth Avenue in his Popemobile. The crowds, hundreds of thousands of people, were cheering mightily as he rode by. Oh God, what to do? I wanted so much to see him. It meant so much to me. And yet, I absolutely knew I could not have a good time, couldn't concentrate without my friend who I knew was a responsible and effortful person who would never let me down lightly. If she was late, there was a reason. I couldn't leave her out here all by herself. I prayed, oh God, send her, send her. Now it was 3 o'clock, and they closed the doors. I just stood there. I looked down Madison Avenue again, and there, running toward me, was a woman with blonde hair blowing in the wind and big black marks under her eyes. She had been crying. She was crying because they'd circled over Newark for more than an hour. It had been terrible. There was fog. She knew she'd missed the Pope. I said, no, no, it's all right. It's fine. Let's run. You never know. And we ran together, holding hands, and we got near 51st and 5th, and the Pope was entering the sealed cathedral. A great roar from the jam-packed crowd outside, of which we were now a part. We saw him, sort of, in his Pope-mobile as he went by. Well, we settled in, standing with tens of thousands of people. A police officer would come by, and we'd always say, we have tickets. Is it possible to let us in? And they'd always say, no, sorry, all shut down. Well, we'd listen on the loudspeakers. It wasn't so terrible. The Pope would speak. We'd hear him. There was a woman crying. She was standing to my right, and she was crying out loud with a hanky in her hand. She had a teenage daughter with her. I turned to her, and I looked, and we spoke. She was crying because they had tickets, but they'd arrived late. They had come all the way from Chile to see the Holy Father. They had flown on a plane from Chile, and they weren't going to get in. Well, we joined together and commiserated. We shared our stories. Then two college girls joined us. They were sad, too. Not that they had tickets, but they'd come to New York and hoped for a glimpse and hadn't gotten one. Then, over to my left, I saw a social figure of New York, a very great philanthropist and a lovely woman. She was standing by herself behind one of the barricades, and she was looking lost. She had a ticket, too. She'd gone to the wrong door, she'd been redirected to the wrong place, and now she couldn't get in. She was white-haired and trembling, and I put my arm around her, and we two commiserated, and we stood there waiting and listening for the Pope's voice. Now and then some official-looking person would come by and we'd ask for help, but we always got nowhere. And then suddenly, a handsome young man, tall, with dark hair and a gray suit, walked across the street from the cathedral. He stood before me at the barricade and he said, "Are you Peggy Noonan?" "Yes," I said. He moved the barricade forward and he said, "Come." Well, whoever he was in charge, and he could help us. But I didn't understand, really, so I just sort of looked at him. He said, "I read your stuff sometimes. Come." And he moved his head at the cathedral as if to say, "I'll get you in." I hesitated. To go in, I would have to leave my friends. The Democrat, the sobbing Chilean and her daughter, the college girls, the philanthropist. And we all wanted so much to see our Pope, and none of us deserved it more than any other. The Democrat with me, she was so happy, she said, "Go." But love came into me, which brought faith, which brought strength. I put my arms around my friends, and I said, "We are all here together. We must stay together, please." And the man thought for a second and said nothing, and then he opened the barricade just a little wider, and we ran, all of us. We ran across the street, holding hands, our hair flying. They let us in the side door near the middle of the block. As we ran into the cathedral, I turned to thank the man. He had come with us just to the door. And there, in the small crowd at the door, I yelled to him, "Thanks, what's your name?" And he yelled back, "Detective Kelly." And I turned to my friends, and then I turned back to him once more, and he had disappeared into the crowd. We entered the great bubbling cathedral. We were pushed forward into a jostling section near the altar. And just as we were pushed in the farthest, great cheers were coming from the main aisle of the cathedral. And now there was movement at the steps of the altar, and we turned and saw there he was, our Pope, radiant, with everyone cheering. He was just a few feet away from us. We could not believe our good fortune. We wept, we laughed, we squeezed one another's hands. The Pope said a rosary on his knees. We said the rosary with him standing. And it was beautiful. And I think none of us will ever forget that day. Afterward, I thought, the first time I saw him in this place, I was living destructively and I got thrown out. Now in my life, I have been trying to live constructively and I got thrown in. Let me tell you something that just occurred to me as I have been writing this. The door I was thrown out of and the door I was thrown into, I think they were literally the same door. In the years afterwards, I could not help but think that those two events were not accidents. They were both an expression of a reality deeper than I could see and more surprising than I could guess.